The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Had quite a journey this weekend. A lot of fun up in East Alabama, Phoenix City, Alabama. We'll talk about that a little later on tonight. Got a lot of good guests tonight. We got Jason Mitchell from the Wheeler NASCAR Modifieds, Jeff Choquette, Jay Middleton, of course, Mark Whitener, winner up in East Alabama, Terry and Randy Rinker. Now, you guys want to stay tuned for this one because these are like your Andretti's of Grand Prix boat racing, man. These guys are top of the line out there on the water. And, of course, we got Mr. Ken Kinney going to update us on the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. So, full show tonight, Jack.
Oh, I thought you were going to just, like, do the show. I'm just going to sit back and let you do the show.
Oh,
I'm gonna take,
yeah, okay.
I'm going to take the night.
I'm going to tell you what. After this past weekend, long distance with you on the phone trying to get computers to work, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Do not buy a laptop with Vista on it.
Yep. As a matter of fact, more and more, you know, none of our stuff has Vista.
Not available.
Imagine that.
Imagine.
Hey, we might as well just, like, bring him in now. We've had him sitting in the wings for a minute. Southern Motor Racing, Skip Wall. How you doing, Skipper?
Hi, gentlemen. Yo.
Well, we're in Florida. We know, you know, we're doing good, man. You're in North Carolina. We're not so sure.
Well, we're getting all your rain that you have down there.
So, Skip, let me ask you something. Now, some people think this is old news. To me, it isn't old news yet because it really hasn't actually come to full fruition yet, but what do you think about up there in New Hampshire last month where this racer was found guilty of in a crash at a racetrack using his car as a deliberate weapon?
You know, I kind of find it hard to believe, but I know in the Northeast they do things a whole lot of different ways. What state was that in, by the way?
New Hampshire.
It was in the wonderful state of New Hampshire.
In Connecticut, if you have a on-track racing incident that has, for instance, an injury, the local police or the state police has to investigate it. A on-track racing incident. So,
what do they consider that, though? What do they consider an on-track racing? If you get in a brawl or what?
No, if you get into an accident. A racing accident, someone gets hurt.
Has to
be investigated.
Well, you know, and if somebody gets hurt, to what do you know what the extent of the injuries has to be?
No.
All right, that's something we'll have to check.
Probably if you got to be taken away.
Yeah.
Probably we'll have to check into that.
Well, that's
but you know, this goes back, Jack, like the Governor's Cup. You know, Wayne Anderson and Dave Rogers. I mean, we thought that was going to end up like this, and it did, kind of. You know, there was probation involved. There was guilty verdicts.
But it didn't have to do with the crash.
No, it didn't. No, that was the post-race activities. Yeah. But, you know, the crash is what started the whole thing, and that's what they were talking about, you know, starting to make charges. So
in that case there that happened there, this would have been this thing in New Hampshire. If that would have been in New Hampshire, somebody would have went to jail for sure.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah
because, you know, and you know, what I'm reading about this, I haven't seen any pictures or video or audio or anything about it. This doesn't seem like a real huge incident.
Not from what I've seen.
In my years of stock car racing, I've seen some serious stuff where people could have been seriously injured.
What do you think, Skip? The other driver involved actually testified in court against the other driver, the driver who was charged.
You know, it a lot depends on the nature of what actually happened. If there's an on-track racing incident, then that's racing. But, you know, if it's something like where they go around and hit someone head-on after the race or go down pit road, that's another thing.
I think we'll call up the reporter. We'll make a note of that. We'll call up the reporter who wrote the story for the union leader up in New Hampshire and see what see what she has to say about it in depth. So what's the hot item in North Carolina this past weekend besides the Whelen Modifieds are on a serious rain-out roll?
It seems like it's rain everywhere, but, I mean, it's raining in North Carolina and not everywhere else. They got the Camp of World East race in Greenville, South Carolina, which is 2 hours away from Caraway. They got that race in, and it was won by Peyton Sellers out of Virginia. And Austin Dillon came home second. He's the grandson of Richard Childress.
What's his name?
Bob. Austin Dillon.
Austin Dillon.
Why does that name sound familiar?
I don't know.
Besides being the grandson of Richard Childress.
Mike Dillon, the Bush Series, former Bush Series driver.
Okay.
He spotted for years in the Childress organization, and now he's like a vice president in there. And that's his son. They made the Little League World Series a couple of years ago and up in Pennsylvania. This little Austin Dillon, it's got a bright future in front of it.
Wow.
And then the Peyton Sellers, the one race, that's a team car. So hats off to Andy Santerre and his team, which is a northern team. And they're working this year with the Childress organization. And there are several other people, like Trevor Bain is former Hooters Pro Cup guy. He's over in the Camp Award East now. He's running for DEI. So Joey Logano, that won the series last year, and you know he's moving up to the Busch East next year, or around Camp Award East.
Busch East?
He's moving up. He's going next.
Oh, it's. I'll tell you what, Skip. Why don't you use the clout you have and get these people to straighten these names out for us? This is crazy, man. You can't change the name of something every
time.
Just call
them Grand National and Cup.
No,
God.
It's confused at the beginning of the year.
It's crazy.
This year is now called the Camp of World East.
Well, I'm not going to keep track of all that. They don't pay us enough to keep track of all that.
So, but anyhow, that's what happened. That's what happened in Greenville, South Carolina. And then up no more than 2 hours away from Caraway, they got the Hooters Pro Cup race in, but not without problems. They had a serious rain delay. They ran over 100 laps.
Listen to this, Rick.
A bunch of laps under green.
They declared a winner, didn't they, Skip?
They declared a winner. Danny Abold.
Who? Yeah.
Never won a Danny Abold.
Yeah.
Never heard of him other than he would show up and he would be one of the back markers. Well, he elected not to pit. And it is a very smart move. Biggest upset of Hoover's Pro Cup.
Good for him.
Bo Slocum finished 12th or 13th in that race. He had a good run.
Yeah.
ASA kid. I bet Benny Gordon was really happy about that, though. He finished second.
Yes.
What did he say? What did he have to say?
I don't have him on record as saying. I took in the Caraway race and we got rained out.
Well, that's right. You've been going to all the rainouts. You got to change your schedule around, Skip. I mean, you keep going to the rainouts and all the good racing that happens all around you. Did them folks up at Friendship, did they open, or is that coming up this week on dirt?
That's coming up this weekend.
On dirt. We got to get them next week, Rick. We got to get a hold of them people, see how their whole deal went.
Yeah.
Wow.
We also have a modified race this weekend at Bowman Gray Stadium, Winston-Salem Historic Track, quarter-mile track. It opens up. It's 60th season. They open up this Saturday, and a 200-lap Tucson 200. Problem is, we're already calling for showers.
What's the biggest story you got on Southern Motor Racing?
Rain.
Rain.
Six races thus far, 3 rainouts.
Well, Skip.
Maybe we could get some insight from Mr. Mitchell here shortly.
Yeah. Hey, Skip, what about Matt Hawkins and his first win in ARCA?
You know, I saw the tail end of that, and this guy is something else. You know, he won his first Hooters Pro Cup race last year. I believe it was Lakeland or South. Was it Georgia? One of those two places he won his first race there. And he's batting 1,000 up here in the ARCA Series. This is the first race he ever entered.
That's cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
Off to him, and he passed former Hooters Pro Cup driver Matt Carter.
Matt Carter, number 22 in the Pro Cup, if I remember correctly.
So he passed him for the lead and went on to win the race. And you know this Matt Hawkins is gonna be tough. And you can look more out of him.
No, his crew chief is right.
Huh?
Mike Garvey.
Oh, Mike Garvey.
Yeah. Huh?
Mike Garvey.
Hey, Skip. does the Bush East have a pretty good, do they have a good TV package?
Yes, they do. Camper World East has a very good package. They're going to use HDNet. They're doing, they got a good live package.
Really?
They're doing the East Series, they're doing the West Series, and they've got affiliation with Speed.
So there's some of their stuff is actually live as it happens?
Some of their stuff is live. Now, the next live race for the Camper World East will be in New Hampshire when they share the weekend with the Sprint Cup people.
You know, I'm not sure how they do all this. I used to be on top of this. I'm not anymore. But I was talking to John Key from the ASA Southeast Asphalt Tour this afternoon. He said they've just upped their TV audience package to 60 million viewers, and they got a couple of them on. A couple of those shows are scheduled like during prime time. They got some of the schedules are done during prime time, like on Wednesday, and I think another one's on Thursday, something like that.
This is where I get hung up on which ASA are they televising? Is it going to be the Southeast car, Southwest, or Southern, whatever? Which one is it?
Well, now we're not lawyers, but I'll let Rick tackle that one.
They're the RC Cola Moon Pie ASA Southeast Asphalt Tour is what they are televising.
The other series that you're referring to is the ASA Late Model Series, which is operated by Ron Varney out of Michigan.
We don't have this problem in dirt.
Does that clarify things for you, Skip?
Where's Choquette? Where's he at?
Choquette last year was the ASA Late Model Southern Division champion. This year, he's racing all over in lots of things. He raced up there with you guys in the Pass Series. He's raced, and now he's going to race in the ASA, American Speed Association, Southeast Asphalt Tour at Lakeland, which is coming up on May the 3rd. He'll make his debut, I believe. We're going to talk to him tonight, just here in a little bit.
Maybe he can give you some insight of what they're going to do on ASA thing. Aren't they having some issues at hand on ASA versus ASA?
There is a lawsuit between Ron. You had to bring this up, didn't you? There's a lawsuit between the ASA Late Model Series, Ron Varney's operation, and Dennis Huth, who is the owner of the American Speed Association name. According to that's how it's set up.
It's ugly. Very ugly.
Does that clarify that for you, Skip?
That clarifies a little.
That's great, man. I'll tell you what. I want you to go take get some caffeine here because you're going to have to speed up because we're going to be talking to a fast man, Jason Mitchell from the NASCAR Modifieds here in a minute, huh?
Before we go to Jason, let me give you a quick plug on the Super Cup Stock Car Series, Mr. Joe Schmoen and gang. Newport Speedway on two weeks ago, Jimmy Crabtree, who we just had on the show,
yes,
wins the race. Ryan Miller comes home second. Larry Wilcox is third. Joe Harrison Jr. was fourth, and Daniel Johnson was fifth. Their next race comes up May the 3rd in Columbus, Ohio.
Yep. Is there Hooters Prep Cup steel-bodied cars? And, you know, it was because of Mr. Crabtree that we actually did the research and have concluded that if you are a guest on Real Racing USA, any of our shows, you increase your chances of performing better by at least 25 to 30.
The mojo.
Yeah, 33%. You improve your performance, and your chances of winning increase substantially when your performance increases. So it only makes sense to be a guest on Real Racing USA.
Absolutely. Huh? Absolutely.
What do you think of that, Skip?
That's phenomenal.
That's very phenomenal.
Yeah, Megan Rittenour on there.
Yep, she won the race, didn't she?
Didn't she? See, these people are all adding to the, it's the bump, man. It's the Real Racing USA bump, and we're going to be right back. How about that?
That's cool.
Oh! Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star Race Car Bodies. 5-star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Okay, we're back on Real Racing USA Live, and I think I'm going to let Mr. Skip Wall introduce our next guest. Skip, go ahead, take it away.
This is Mr. Jason Mitchell. He's the media coordinator for NASCAR's Wheeland Southern Modified Division. Jason, what do you think? Have you gotten dried out yet?
Yeah, still trying to. Gosh, I tell you what, it's been... I think if you're in a drought, you probably want to put a Southern Modified race on your schedule to get some rain, because we've had three rainouts so far this season. Obviously, the race at Greenville Pickens, it had to get canceled. They have had so many weekly stuff that the schedule just didn't work out. It's unfortunate, but that race got canceled. I talked with Mark Sutter, the tour director for the NASCAR Wheeland Southern Modified Tour, probably about 4:30, and as of yet, we do not have a rainout date for last Saturday night's race at Carroway Speedway.
You do not have a date as of yet.
No, as of yet, and literally, I was on the phone with L.W. Miller. He's getting ready to start his hunting season up in Pennsylvania, where he's from, and I was on the phone with him whenever you guys called in. He was wanting to know, but I think we should probably know something in the next 24 to 48 hours.
So, how many races have you got in this year?
We got three in, and actually, two of those races were on back-to-back nights, and one was at Ace Speedway, that's north of Burlington. And then the following Saturday night, we raced, I guess it would be our last race, that Brian Lofton won at Carroway.
Yeah, wow. Amazing. Go ahead, Skip.
Jason, what about the rainouts now versus the schedule for the rest of the year? Is there not a way that you could add them on at the end of the season, or you're just not going to reschedule them? Or how's that affect us?
Well, the way it stands right now, our season finale, I don't have the date right in front of me, but we've got one weekend in between our last race and the banquet, so that would be one off weekend that we could, definitely reschedule a race. And then we have to start looking at the banquet. We're originally going to have the banquet on the night of the Cup race at Lowe's Motor Speedway, but so many of our guys, like Bobby Hutchins, Brandon Heyer, worked for Childress. Tim Brown works for Michael Waltrip. LW, I think he has some nationwide obligations. So it really wasn't a good weekend. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, you'd be picking a guy like Bobby Hutchins, who's the vice president of competition at Ricker Childress. It would kind of put him in a bad spot because, you know, his bread and butter is, you know, getting all three cars in the chase for the championship. And I would hate to tell him, Bobby, you need to come to Winston-Salem for our banquet. And Jason, well, I got a cup championship to worry about, because I'll tend to say, Bobby, you'll worry about your cup championship.
So does this put a damper by moving the schedule of the banquet up? Does that put a damper on all this?
You need to stop saying that damper word.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Just the new date will be the Saturday night following the Craftsman Truck Series race at Martinsville. So as you well know, Martinsville is such a small town that the only place that has a lot of rooms within driving distance is Greensboro, Winston, High Point area. So, you know, it's just trying to get everybody's schedules together and trying to get the moon and the stars to line up. But I think we're going to be all right. We could just get this weather to help us out a little bit. And, gosh.
That's on the horizon for, say, like the July 4th week. The modifieds used to run at Caraway right in the middle of July 4th week on a Wednesday night, that Firecracker 300 they used to have. And then, say, like in October, they used to run the Mid-Atlantic 500. And they run the Wheeler Southern Modifieds for that. Nothing in the future bringing those events back?
Well, I know our next scheduled race is July 4th at Caraway. We could, you know, once the decision has been made, we could possibly make that Saturday night from Caraway rain out before then. But I think everybody's going to work hard. Obviously, Bowman Gray Stadium opens up its 60th season of racing, and man, I tell you what, I'll be up there Friday night as a fan. I'll go in and pay my $10 and sit in the stands with about 15,000 or 20,000 other people. If you've never been to Bowman Gray Stadium, you're doing yourself a disservice. The racing action up there is just incredible, and it's the oldest sanctioned track in NASCAR. So obviously, those folks that run Bowman Gray, they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
I want to give a plug to Greg Garrison. We're going to have a story about Greg Garrison and the 60 years of Bowman Gray Stadium one night this week on southernmotorracing.com. So hats off to those folks as they start their 60th season this weekend.
You got some kind of trivia thing going on over there about the Southern Modifieds?
Yeah, we got a little trivia thing. I don't suppose Jason wants to. I suppose he don't want to say nothing about it.
Oh Lord.
Well, see, we're in the dark here. We don't know nothing about it. I haven't looked at it, so I haven't seen what he's talking about. Have you, Rick?
I haven't
seen it.
Well, they're picking on him on Southern Motor Racing. We have a message board, and it's a little thing called Track Teaser, and we have actually two pictures of Jason, and he's with Miss Caraway, and a lovely, good-looking young lady. And Jason, we're just trying to figure out what were you two actually looking at on that computer, because we have a picture of them looking at the computer, and then we have a picture of Jason with a little smirk looking at us, and we have a picture of her looking at us. So, anything you want to elaborate on that?
I tell you what, she's easy on the eyes. Ain't no doubt about that.
Is that the message board that you're talking about?
It's on the message board.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, Track Teaser. Okay.
Track Teaser, yeah.
And one of the things, the way he's looking, one of the questions is they're posing for one of those Viagra commercials.
Yeah, that second picture there looks a mite suspicious, Jason.
I better.
That looks like busted.
Yeah, he likes going to the track, son. He's a sweet little girl.
Yeah, Skip, you just lost your press credential, Skip.
We just did a track teaser on this same girl at Caraway a couple weeks ago when we didn't get rained out, and L.W. Miller won the race. We couldn't get a picture of them two looking at the camera. They were looking away, so we picked on them again, and we took a pot shot at L.W. Miller that he was proposing to her. Lo and behold, we had no idea L.W. Miller's got a girlfriend.
Oh, man. That don't work.
We tried to make up for it on this week and saying that Jason was knocking L.W. out of saddle on this picture here.
I'm trying.
Well, hopefully you guys will run into some dry weather here coming up and get some real modified action. I know the fans certainly love it. So, yeah, hopefully that'll get that straightened out. You guys, you needed the rain anyway, really, because you remember last year during this time, I mean, it was like drought city in North Carolina. So it's probably a good thing you got the rain, just maybe not on your weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that I can control, but Mother Nature is unfortunately not one of them. I thought it looked so good the other night, and it was just the closer we got, we were all monitoring the weather radar, and it wasn't looking good. And I think we called the rate probably 6:50, 7 o'clock, somewhere around that range.
Yeah.
So
it was good.
Yeah, and I have to take my hat off to Russell Hackett. I mean, you know, He's there to have people in the grandstands, and when people walk out their door and it looks like rain, you know, I don't think anybody really wants to go anywhere and just stand or sit out in the rain. So I think Russell made the right call on that, and hopefully we can get you guys a new rain makeup date.
There you go. Cool. Good deal.
Listen, let me touch on one other topic. Southern Motor Racing did a little investigating. Junior Miller was caught with unapproved parts. Can you elaborate any on what the penalty was?
Really, the press release pretty much spells it out. And me being a mechanical guy, I have no idea what was going on. But apparently, it was something that he didn't know was on his car, and his crew chief was suspended and the next three Southern Modified races and fined $1,000. But as far as telling you what was wrong, I wouldn't begin to even waste your time trying to tell you. I can tell you
what I'm getting at, Jason, the statement was that he was on probation, or was he suspended from NASCAR until September?
No, that was only the crew chief.
Only the crew chief.
Only the crew chief. And really, I'll see the best way to try to explain it. I guess it's like if Jimmy Johnson gets caught, like I think he did last year at Daytona, his crew chief is one that gets the fine and the penalty. So I guess it's really the crew chief job to make sure that all the right parts and pieces are on there.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Do you know if that is for just a Wheeling Modified Series that he's on suspension, or would that be in all of NASCAR?
I think that would be all of NASCAR.
Yeah.
You just cleared it up right there.
There you go. So again, when is the next race scheduled for, Jason?
Right now, we're looking at July the 4th. That's the next scheduled race, and hopefully we will come out and be able to announce the rainout date at a pretty, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to, you know, get this season rolling on.
Right. Good deal.
Standing in the rain every weekend.
Yeah, got that right. Enough meteorology. I'll tell you what, we got to run along. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to spend some time with us here on Real Racing USA. And, Skip, I got to tell you, you know, now I went over here to check out your picture. I hadn't been on your website in probably about 4 or 5 days. You got some pretty good stuff going on here. I mean, you got some stories about the crash costly to Andy and Zeiss. And, I mean, you got a bunch of good stuff on here, man. You got some pretty good.
We need to get Andy Zeiss on this program. Is a good story to listen for him to explain what they did. They crashed on a Friday night, and they were back. They wiped out a car on Friday night at Ace, on Saturday night, they were back.
Yeah, we had Andy on earlier this year, I believe, didn't we, Rick? We need to have him back.
Yes, we did.
He's a talented little kid, and I tell you what, one of the best things he's brought to the series is his mom's home cooking. So, man, if I'm not at the NASCAR trailer, I'm probably with a plate of food up in the 47 holler. I think Saturday we had steak, chicken, pork. A couple weeks ago we had.
We're checking out computer images on with some Trophy Girl, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
This fairway up in press box.
But yeah, Skip, you keep up what you're doing, man, because you're getting those kind of stories. I mean, you got a story in here about George Brunheisel. You got stuff. You go out and get stories that is outside. You know, it's not just the same old stuff. You go out and get some interesting pieces of racing that's going on, and that's cool. Keep it up, man. You're doing
right,
a good job,
Jack. And my hat goes off to Jason and his bunch for making the stuff available for us to work with. And Jason, I really appreciate you forwarding a lot of information and opening up all your knowledge that you have with your staff and treating us with Southern Motor Racing. We really appreciate the hospitality that you guys put on for us.
Oh, not a problem. We're all in this thing together. We're all one big family. Hopefully we can get back to racing and quit talking about rain.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. And, Skip, you keep up. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us tonight, man.
Thank you guys for having us.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, Rick. What's coming up here, Rick? We got, I tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're coming back with Jeff Choquette, then Jay Middleton. Both super late model racers are going to be at Lakeland USA International Speedway on May the 3rd for the ASA Asphalt Southern Tour. Then in the second hour, we're going to talk to Mark Whitener from the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series 1 up at Alabama, where you were. And we're going to have Ken Kinney on, who's the promoter of that series. And at 8:30 tonight, we have a very special thing with Terry Rinker and his brother Randy, Formula One boat racing. Whoa, scary. Nuts.
Broom, broom.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star Race Car Bodies. 5-star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
All right, we're back from that short commercial break there, and with us now, live on Real Racing USA, Jeff Choquette. How you doing tonight, Jeffrey?
Good. How's it going?
All right, we're doing all right.
Jeff, you've been all over the country here, it seems, in the last few months, racing super late models. Tell us where you've been. For last time, I think we talked to you was after you were chosen as a Inside Florida Racing's Driver of the Month in January for...
No. The last time we talked to him, it was about them damn engines.
Oh, that's right. And we're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about racing tonight, Jeff. What? Where have you been?
No more talking about them engines. Just get everybody to leave them alone. I think it feels like, you know, because I drive the hauler most of the places we go, And we've been to Pensacola, we've been to Five Flag Speedway, we've been to Mobile, we did the doubleheader they have up there, we've been to Hickory, we were on our way to Nashville, but, you know, didn't like the way the weather was, and for the amount of money that we budgeted for it to go up there, it was just, you know, it was a little too much for us, and so we decided not to go, and the race ended up getting rained out. You know, we've been down here to a local race, Bright House race with Dick Anderson that we raced last weekend to get ready for the big race this weekend. So yeah, we've been all over the place, and that's what we're going to continue to do for the rest of the year.
I'll tell you one thing, Jeff, though, is you're starting to get noticed nationally. You know, you got the vote on the Speed 51. I believe it was the David Smith up and coming drivers thing. So people are starting to pay attention to you, brother.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we came out of the box there. Normally, Speed Fest and Speed Weeks gets a lot of coverage, and we went down there and for our first win there at Lakeland, and I mean, you had some bigger names there like Kyle Busch, and you know, so it was a lot bigger race than it has been in the past. So we come out of there, won that race, went to Speed Weeks, had an awesome Speed Weeks, and everywhere we've been so far has just been awesome. You know, I couldn't be any happier than I am now, and I gotta give a lot of credit to Dennis Reno from Extreme Suspension Technology. You know, he's kind of come on board this year as our crew chief, and you know, he's always kind of done my shock, and he's fine-tuned us. You know, we've been right there, we've been close, we've missed out a lot of races sometimes, but he's just taken our program and fine-tuned it and added some of his stuff to it, and I mean, it's made it awesome. But
what's his background? What's his name again?
Dennis Reno.
Oh, Dennis Reno. And how did you find Dennis?
We met Dennis through Bob Schick from AMF Chassis, which used to work with us. And Dennis used to work for Port City Racing, doing all their shops. And we kind of met him kind of through there. And then we needed a crew chief, so we ended up calling him to see if he could come in for one race. And we did well, so it was like, hey, come back for another one. And he's done a lot for us, and I'm glad, you know, he decided to come work with us this year.
That's awesome. Now, that past South opener at Hickory, man, you had that thing, it was wrapped up, basically, and then lap traffic got you again. It wasn't Yoho, was it?
No, I would get scared if I seen him out of the state away up there. but, you know, that kind of stuff does happen from time to time, but that seems to have been, you know, it's been the story of my racing here the past couple of races. You know, I know we had a great year here in the beginning, but here the past couple of weeks, we went up, like you said, at the past race, we had to race, in my eyes, you know, pretty much won, and just riding around, and lap cars tangle up in front of me, and I had nowhere to go. The second place car had nowhere to go, and the third place car had nowhere to go. We all got tangled up and taken out. Then, you know, we went down to a race at Five Flag Speedway, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, and, you know, just running fourth, waiting for the pit stops to come around, and the third place guy spins out in front of me, and I get taken out in his wreck, too. It just seemed to get, you know, just like there in Speed Weeks, got caught up in a bunch of lap cars, you know, and their problems. It just, if I could just get away from them and get out of everybody else's mess, you know, I think we'd really our year would start to turn around again, you know, from this, the past few races that we had, start to turn around and come back to us.
Well, you've been racing long enough now. What's your insight on this? How do you get out of a slump when you're a driver? I mean, it's kind of like a slump, right? I mean, you just get into a funk.
Yeah, you know, it's not so much that. I'm sorry, I got to go outside here. Hold on.
Jeff's got his quiet his dog down there.
I'm sorry about that. She has a little dog that she takes with her, but it's not so much that, you know, that we're in a slump, because I mean, everywhere we've been so far, we've ran great. Like I said, I couldn't be any, you know, any happier with it. But as far as like getting in the slump and trying to get out of it, I mean, that's just something that takes time. I mean, everybody goes through it. I mean, Wayne Anderson has gone through it. Jeff Schofield's gone through the slumps. You know, it takes one race. You know, as soon as you hit good, as soon as you do good in that one race, you know, then you got the monkey off your back and you start running well again. But it seems to come around about, you know, everybody hits it, you know, once a year or once every 2 years. You know, that guy that was winning all them races last year hits that slump. But
you know, that's interesting. You know David Wilson, right? I mean, you know David. He raced in the ASA series last year, and you raced against him a lot at DeSoto and other places. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year, he was on a show that I was standing by while he was being interviewed recently, and I was biting my tongue because, you know, you saw him in the ASA that year. He tore up every car they had three times. I mean, he couldn't find anything but the wall. He comes out this year, and he's in the winner's circle every week. You know, I mean, it's like bizarre, you know, how that just turns around.
David, I got a chance to race against David twice this year down there, once in Dick's car and once my own. And, I mean, you know, David, last time we were down there, I think it was probably about two or three weeks ago before Pensacola, and, you know, I was following David there for probably about 15 laps until, you know, we had brake problems. But, you know, he was doing awesome. You know, he was holding his own line. You know, normally when a rookie driver, somebody gets on his bumper, he starts getting loose and pushing up and messing up. But, you know, he was doing really good. I didn't get a chance, you know, much before this year to race, kind of race with David on the track. But, you know, he was doing really good. You know, I thought I might have been able to get up there and rattle him a little bit. But, you know, like I said, for the 15 laps that we raced with him, you know, he really, really held his own, and he's been doing really well. I think he's won the past two, and I think that's the third of the year. And shoot, I even think the fastest I've ever been down there in DeSoto and the fastest I've ever seen in the past 4 or 5 years has been a 14:37. And they said in qualifying a couple of weeks ago, he went a 14:40, you know, which is really, I mean, if you go to anybody at Super Late Model Races, you know,
rapid fast.
40, he'll tell you you're crazy.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, your 37 was the last fast time that I saw there in 5.5 years.
Yeah, and David, you know, went a 14:40 down there, so.
That's cruising.
That's cruising
on that asphalt.
So David's really come along, and I don't know, you know, I can't say that it's from, you know, switching crew chiefs from Dick Anderson, because, I mean, even me racing with Dick Anderson, I've learned 10 times more than I knew, but you know, ever since he's jumped chips over to he's with Scott Walters and not sure the other guy's name that he's with, but he's got them two guys that work on the car. He seems to be doing a lot better this year, but time will tell. You know, David's come along. He's an up and coming racer.
Yeah, but he got out of the slump, and that's what we were getting at. Yeah. Is once you get out of the slump, it seemed like you said it seems to be smooth sailing. So. What do you think? Now, you're going to do this ASA Southern Asphalt Tour at Lakeland coming up on May 3rd?
Yeah. Since it's so close to home, we wanted to run the series because of the TV, but just some of the rules didn't match up with ASA South's rules, like the motor rules and all that. So
we're not going to talk about the motor rules.
Yeah, no more about the motor rules. But, you know, what went on there, we were like, oh, it's too close, so. Like always, you know, plans change right there before the season started. But, yeah, we're going to go down to Lakeland and try to see if, you know, we can race with some of their guys. And I'm trying to race against as many racers that I can find on as many tracks as I can find. Just because, just so, I can show, you know, try to show them guys up there in North Carolina, hey, you know, I can run with anybody on any track at any given time.
What? Go ahead.
You know what? Somebody that's doing that is Justin, who's leading the rookie points in the United Dirt Late Mile Challenge Series.
Oh, yeah. He, my cousin, he...
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad for him, you know, because, you know, he goes to work and he works, you know, from 7 to 5 every day, and he doesn't get a whole lot of time to work on his race car, and he doesn't have a whole lot of money to put into his race car. But right there at the end of when Thundercross was open, you know, he was doing really good. You know, what took me, you know, 5 years to do, he did in 2 years. You know, and he really just came along, and then he didn't get a chance to race there for about 4 years, I believe. And he's going through the stages again. I believe before the end of the year, you're going to be seeing a lot more of him, because once he gets a hold of it, you know, look out, you know, because I think I'm going to sell my dirt late model van, because he's an awesome driver. He just has to have somebody to put the car under him, and he's learning that race by race, and I think he's going to get a lot better.
Now, when you were at Lakeland the last time, I believe it was the last time when you won down there, right?
Yeah, it was a speed test.
Yeah, that was when you, I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I like to say it anyway. You took Kyle Busch to school, and you won that race down there. So now what do you do? Do you take the same car back? Is it the same car? You do the same deal? You try to get the same setup?
They allow us to... The spec motors that everybody was in an uproar about, we were on the show about, about a month ago.
We're not talking about motors.
Yeah, no. they allow us to take their motors and just put a 2-barrel 500 on them, which kills them quite a bit of horsepower. I think it knocks almost 150, 175 horsepower out of the motor. So, we're going to take the same exact car back. I'm going back with the same exact setup. I haven't turned a bolt on that car yet. That car was... It was so good during that race, I couldn't believe it, you know. So we're going to take the same car, and we're just going to put a 2-barrel on the motor and go down there, and hopefully, you know, we can get us another one.
How technical do you get about all that? Do you guys, do you take readings on the temperature and the amount of sun? And, I mean, do you get really technical about all that, the humidity and all that?
You have to, you know. You have to. In order to be good, and in order to beat some of the people that you're racing against, like, you know, the guys around here and then up north, you know, the quality of drivers, you have to be on top of your game. You got to know, you know, if I'm slow, why is it? You know, is it because I'm really slow, or is it because the track temperature is way high? You know, you always got to take your tire temps, and you always got to do them kind of temperatures, and you just got to stay on top of everything, or else you're just slowly going to slip away, and you know, you're always going to be running for second.
You know, and that's something I'm learning now, you know, that I've started with this dirt series, is it's a completely different deal with them, because there is no worrying about track temperatures, practice time, or anything. You roll into a racetrack, you might get 5-10 laps, and then it's time to qualify and run.
Get on the wheel, man.
Yeah, the dirt racing, that's more of, you know, you can kind of, you know, you always see a dirt racer. He'll have when he gets there, he'll have a screwdriver or a knife or, you know, something long and sharp in his pocket, and he'll take it and he'll walk out to the track and he'll stick the knife or screwdriver down in the track. And however far that screwdriver goes down in there, that's how far.
He could?
I know.
That's how far, you know, the track is, that the water's down in the track. And that's how he can kind of judge the knife. Well, If it only goes in a half an inch, he's like, well, you know, it's going to get dry real quick, so we need to start setting up for that. And just watching the track. Dirt guys, you know, they don't pay attention to the temperature. They don't care if it's 100 or if it's 50 out. It doesn't matter to them.
So are you saying by default there that Wayne Anderson didn't take the right length of screwdriver with him to Ocala last week?
No. I went there because my girlfriend lives up here in Ocala, and I didn't have nothing better to do. And I went down there, and, I mean, for the first time in a dirt car, first race, he did awesome. You know, it's hard to get out there and be racing asphalt for 20 or 30 years and then to get out there and swing the car sideways. And when he did hit the wall, I mean, you could tell plain as day that something broke. I mean, because you don't just run that many laps of practice and then go out there and in the first corner step on the gas and hit the wall. You know, he did really good. He actually surprised me. Car looks awesome. You know, I wish my car looked that good, but he did awesome. And then it's hard to go down there and race when guys like Ivan and Lloyd show up, and you got Rich Brad. He looked pretty good too, and kind of intimidating, but he did really good.
You know, I remember them saying the same thing about this kid coming from dirt to asphalt.
Yeah, I know they did. I don't.
How can he do this?
Asphalt, believe it or not, you know, asphalt, dirt racing is, and I've seen both sides of the fence now, dirt racing is a lot harder than it is, than asphalt racing is for a driver. Now, as far as, like, the setups and stuff, because, you know, the setups, you can just, if it's not right on a dirt car, the driver can make it right. On asphalt, if it's not right, it's not right. You're, you know, put it in trailer, you're done for the day. But on a dirt car, I mean, that guy's got, like, I was watching him at Ocala, the guy's got to find that foot-wide, you know, traction somewhere on the track. And the guy that finds it is, you know, like guys like Ivan and Lloyd, you know, been going around, and they know what they're looking for. So dirt racing's a lot harder than asphalt racing, and that's why I think, you know, some of the success I've had coming over from dirt racing is kind of been because of that.
Well, I really appreciate you spending time with us, as always, Jeff. You know, we got to get out of here because we got one of your competitors coming right behind you, man. Like, he'll be at Lakeland, probably. He'll be after you, man. Or you might.
Who's that?
You might be after him. Jay Middleton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've raced with Jay, and he runs pretty good down there at Lakeland. Well, tell him I said good luck, and I'll see him down there. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck at Lakeland.
All righty. Thank you.
We'll see you soon, Jeff.
Bye.
All right. Jeff Choquette, man. Always one, never to mince words.
Amazing, isn't it?
Amazing race car driver. Amazing race car driver.
Somebody out there is missing the boat. There's somebody out there that needs to put this young man in a serious ride at a serious level and let him see what he can do. If there's anybody in the state of Florida that deserves a chance at the big time,
he's the one.
There ain't no, and that ain't taking nothing away from nobody.
Nope.
It's just, and I think most of the competitors that he races with won't disagree with that statement.
Oh, they can't.
You know.
How can you?
Absolutely.
How can you if you followed that bumper as many times as most of them have?
Yeah, and he's the full package. He can handle your, you know, he will take care of sponsorship and all of that and present your race team in a good steed, man. I mean,
yep.
But tell you what, Rick, you want to? Do you have some notes there, or are we going to a break?
Let's go to a break real quick, Jack.
All right, see if we can accomplish that this time with a little more finesse than last time. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes of Merit.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, we're rolling right along here on Real Racing USA Live. And like you said, Jack?
Well, you know, we're talking about super late model racing. We're talking about Lakeland coming up, USA International Speedway on May 3rd, the ASA Asphalt Southeast Tour. We just talked with Jeff Choquette and another young man who is every bit as talented, every bit as well-spoken as Jeff Choquette, won a lot of championships and has won over a lot of fans in his short but kind of long career. Jay Middleton, welcome to Real Racing USA.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Excited to be here.
Yeah, we're going. We're going. We're always going, man. We're going 90 miles an hour trying to keep up with you guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, no, I heard a little fact that you said earlier that I was kind of got excited about, the 33% increase in performance.
Yeah.
If we would have had that down there at Cordill, you know, we wouldn't have had any kind of problem winning that race.
you finished second to Bo Slocum at Cordill. I mean, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, we had that race won. We got kind of rained out in practice, and I've never been there before, and I got about 30 laps of practice, but, you know, we did set the track record down there, and we had a great car and everything. It just kind of, I didn't have the right line, basically. You know, after I followed him for a few laps, I was actually quicker than him. And it was just kind of silly the way it worked out like that. But I think I led like 60 laps, and then, you know, it was a great points day for us. We moved up 16 spots in points. So
you led 60 laps? Which 60 laps was it?
Oh, the wrong 60. not the one at the end. So we led from lap 3 to about lap 63, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a great run down there, and it just we fell a little bit short to the home track hero. So that's nothing really to be ashamed of. We're just kind of tired of being the bridesmaid. We need to pick us up a win here.
Yeah.
Well, you're coming home, you know, basically to Lakeland. So you got a good shot at it there. What do you think of this Southeast Asphalt Tour?
I think it's been a great series so far. They've done a real good job, you know, marketing and pulling promotions together for the series. The TV package looks pretty impressive as far as the coverage that they're going to get. I think 60 million households, primetime showcase, and it's on a Wednesday, which is good because a lot of the guys in North Carolina are at the house on Wednesday. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff happening about that. And the first race was a little shoddy. It's a little bit rough here and there. We had a lot of cautions, had a lot of laps, a few rules things that need to be moved around a little bit, but, you know, Cordill went perfect. It was just a great race. I think it's going to look great on television.
Well, that's what I was going to, the other thing I was going to ask you, the technical end of it, because when we talked to the guys with the series early, before the series started, you know, they were basically saying that they were trying to make it so just about any kind of late model could run this deal.
You know what? I think they got real close. You know, there's a lot of great late model motors out there. We do have a spec motor with a 2-barrel, and you know, there's been about four or five cars at each race that have had the two barrel like I have. Mostly it's crate motors. But I'll tell you what, man, it's close. I don't know how they managed it like they did, because it's just so close that pretty much you can run with them. You know, I'm a little bit better off the corner. They're a little bit better at the other end. So it makes for a little interesting combination. And, you know, it's been fun racing so far. I'm looking forward to Lakeland, though.
Yeah, so now, when the last time you were at Lakeland, how did you do?
We did pretty good. Well, we finished second to Jeff Chiquette there. You were talking to him a minute ago, and he runs great down there, you know. And I think the first race, the South race, took me a little bit longer to get out front. And by the time I got out there, he was kind of already checked out, so I kind of ran out of time on the first race. And the second race, the big race, you know, we led the first, like, 80 laps, and then we had some different problems. We had a battery go dead on us. And then we had a flat tire that put us two laps down. But it was kind of disappointing because we did have a really great race car. And, you know, it was a good race in general for us. And it just, you know, it's got to work out one of these times. Tired of being the bridesmaid.
Exactly. So, you know, are you running this series for the points championship? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, we're trying to run for a championship. That's always been one of my stronger points, is running for a championship. You know, we've always done really well. We're always there every racetrack we go to. And, you know, like I said, you know, Fort Hill was the first time I've ever been there. And, you know, we led a bunch of laps and set the track record, you know, still finished second. And we jumped up 16 spots and points in one race. So, you know, it's going to be a tough schedule. There's a lot of racetracks I like in there, a lot of places I haven't been to, a lot of places I have been to. I'm really looking forward to it. There's some good competition out there, though.
Wait till you go to Bronson. What's the difference going to be? You were just up at Bronson as a spectator watching the ASA late models series with those crate motors. How different is it going to be when these guys go, when this series goes to Bronson?
Well, I think it's going to be kind of comparable. Our car with the spec motor, that'll be kind of one of its first tests to see if that extra weight that they threw on there for the motor, if that really hurts it on a small track. I've always ran really well at Bronson. I think I've probably raced there like six or seven times, and I've won three or four of them. So we've always ran real good down there. And, you know, Mike Cope is my crew chief. So if
anybody... Oh, that's right.
Mike, so.
Yeah, I forgot about that. What's it like working with Mike?
Oh, Mike is just an amazing guy. He's a gentleman and a scholar. I don't know. He's extremely smart. Like, most people probably don't give him the credit that he deserves as far as how much information he knows about them race cars. But just to go along with all the talent and inside the car and outside the car, he's just a nice guy. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hope we put on a good show down there in Bronson and help his track out.
Well, it's amazing. Now, you know, you were racing in the ASA in the waning years of the original ASA series, as that series kind of came to an end. And you were racing against Mike Cope.
Yeah, we were. I've raced against Mike Cope probably, I don't know, five or six times in big races at least, you know. And we never had a problem. He always ran really well together. He always knew who I was, always respected me. I always had, you know, utmost respect for him. He's just a great race car driver. And, you know, as it was kind of going down towards the end, he didn't race a lot of the races at the end of the year, and we stuck with it. But he's just a great guy. He's a very smart and talented individual.
Back to the event coming up at Lakeland on May 3rd, Jay,
mm-hmm.
How important is it going to be to have local knowledge there? Because there's going to be some guys coming in who've never been to that track.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. You know, I think there's going to be some Florida boys down there, and it's just the same thing with whenever they come down there for Speed Fest. You know, a lot of the northern guys come down there. A few of them run good. For the most part, you know, we try to dominate the race. And, you know, Jeff's always run real good down there. Timmy Russell's run real good down there. And, you know, Jeff Schofield, any of those guys have a real good chance of winning those races, especially at Speed Fest. So for somebody to come in there that had never raced there and to beat us on a track we've been racing for a while, it'd be pretty tough. You know, things will have to really go their way.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of be maybe the reverse of what happened at Watermelon. Because I tell you, first time I ever saw Bo Slocum run was at Watermelon last year. in the ASA late model series. And I'll tell you.
That was the race where he just got the car done, right?
You know, it was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it truly was amazing. I mean, it was unbelievable. Because some tracks you just own, you know. And I think that was one. And you guys will definitely have an advantage going into Lakeland, no doubt.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we had a great race in Cordell, and he was a great competitor. He never, you know, tried any dirty moves or anything like that. And it's just kind of one of the things where it is his home track, and, you know, Lakeland's more one of my home tracks. And, you know, we lost our power steering 2 laps after he passed me at Cordell, too, so that didn't make it any easier.
Yeah.
And I had a few, if you'll see on TV whenever it comes out on May 7th at 8 o'clock on Sports South, when it's going to air, and you'll see on there, towards the end of the race, I got up underneath him about 3 or 4 times, and I could have done it, but that inside wall at Cordell, you know, I didn't want to be part of that. So,
that's May 7th at 8 p.m. on Sports South. You can catch the ASA Southeast Tour race from Watermelon Capital Speedway up there. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're really excited about it, too. We have a new sponsor on board, Redneck Pepper, and they're a Lake City-based company, and they're growing like wildfire, and we're trying to help them promote it as much as possible. And it's just going to be a good. I'm looking, really looking forward to this.
Redneck Pepper
growing Redneck like wildfire. I like that.
Hey man, it's crazy. It's some great stuff. It's just a pepper blend, and you can sprinkle it on anything. You know,
is it hot?
Enjoy it on. It's just no sodium, no MSGs. It's a great product. Adds flavor to anything you put it on. You know. And they have sauces, they have beef jerky, and it's available in all Winn-Dixie's around, you know, and it's a great deal. I'm glad those guys come on board, and looking forward to running the ASA series for points.
Two questions, man. How's your rock and roll career coming along?
Man, I'm still playing guitar here and there, and I actually just moved up here to North Carolina about 3 weeks ago, so I'm talking to you from the heart of racing up here, and I didn't able to bring most of my equipment. I just brought my single guitar and my acoustic, so yeah. Been playing around with it a little bit, but it's always fun.
That's cool.
You might have to go country up there, brother.
No, I'm half country, half rock and roll, so it's hard to be from Florida and not like country. So.
Yeah, all right, man, we wish you absolutely the best of luck down there at Lakeland on May the 3rd, and we look forward to catching you on May the 7th on TV, too.
Yeah, hopefully everybody will catch it out, and hopefully we put on a good race for him.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Jay Middleton, man. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Good luck, Jay.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
All right, Rick, we're going to take a very
Redneck Pepper?
Yeah, Redneck Prepper.
Redneck.
Growing like wildfire.
Growing like wildfire.
Got to put that part in. That's the catchphrase. We got to hurry along here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with, we're going dirt racing for real with Mark Whitener.
There you go.
All right, be right back. If our mouse works right here, everything works right.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
We are back here at Real Racing USA Live, moving right along. Man, we made the journey up to East Alabama Motor Speedway, absolutely one of the most premier short tracks in the South that I've seen in a long time. And from the get-go up there Saturday, wide open, Mark Whitener, man, you had this track figured out from the beginning. Ken and I were watching you in practice, and it was like, man, this guy is badass fast. Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we've been there a few times before, and I think we had a little edge on a few of the guys that was there. I mean, the locals and a few more that had raced there, we had to contend with. But I love that place. It's fast. It's fun.
It's definitely fast, you know, and a lot of what I saw, like, in qualifying was a lot of the guys from down here and who hadn't been there before didn't realize how fast it was going to be, and they would barrel into one and just slide up that hill, almost going over the side.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's last year when we was there, the track was a little dried out, so we was actually higher on the racetrack than what we was the other night. So I was kind of used to that, and it made it interesting. We was running a little different line than what I'm used to there, but last year we was on the very top of the racetrack all the way around it. So.
Dana Island was the guy racing you for second, and Dana's been racing that track for, God, 30 years now. And what he told me after the race was that he was surprised how quick you figured out the slick spot. Where was the slick spot on that track?
There was a slick spot right there in the middle of 3 and 4, and then there was a little bit of a tacky spot, and then there was another slick spot off turn 4. And once I figured out, I hit it a few times, we figured out to go around it. So everywhere I ever go, I love the high side. So I figured I'd try the high side, and I tried it up there, and it worked. And that's where we run. So we made it work up on the high side.
Now, you do a lot of racing with the National Late Model Series and now running with a Ken Series. Now, I heard an interview with you last night. You're running for the big races now this year, isn't that right?
Yeah, we're focused on big races, and the $10,000 point fund that's at the end of the year is not. Don't get me wrong, we're second in two series, and there's a decision to be made here shortly if we want to run for points or if we want to just hit the big races that's closer to home or what we want to do. And right now we're focused on winning races. I mean, wherever we go, whether it be a Saturday night show or Ken Series or Ray Miller Series or just a big race that a racetrack's having. We just focus on winning, and that's my main concern. When I go to a racetrack, I love to win.
No doubt about it. You know, you had a good run over there at our first race at Ocala, and then that Hendry County race, man, that was wild all in itself, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was
Mark, have you tried to forget that night?
I have, but that's one of them racetracks that you'll never forget.
There's no doubt about it, man.
It was memorable. There you go.
Now, Mark, yeah, you know, you come up in the modified ranks and running late models and stuff. Wasn't that long ago that you were looking for a ride and you rolled across this one? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, me and the five car, which is Johnny Collins, car owner. I worked with him for about 8 years, and I drove for him. I won two championships for him, and you know that's the car I used to drive. And me and him just was spending a lot of time together, and had our differences. And I think I needed to go other ways, you know, and it was my decision. And, you know, Mr. Lonnie Roberts and Sherry Roberts, they was willing to step up to the plate and help me. And it's one of them deals where I can't afford to race, so I have to depend on somebody to pull me through it. And they was willing to step up to the plate, and we've been successful with them. They give me good equipment. And they have good equipment, they have good race cars, and they stepped up to the plate, and we're racing.
Tell us some of the championships that you've got under your belt.
I got two modified championships. One at North Florida Speedway, actually, is where Ken Series is going next week. I got a championship with Modified there, and I got one at Jacksonville Speedway in 2002 whenever they was open. We got a Modified championship there, and I've won Rookie of the Year in National Late Model Series in 2006. 2005, I won Rookie of the Year. Actually, I won Rookie of the Year in 2006 in two classes, in late model at Brunswick Speedway and at in Ray Miller Series. I won Rookie of the Year both classes.
Mark, that brings up something. I spoke with you earlier today, and I asked you about this Rookie of the Year thing, and you know, basically, you described to me that, you know, you preferred not to be considered a rookie in the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Give us your reasons for that.
Well, you know, you can run Rookie of the Year one time. You can make a decision to run it one time. Ray Miller gives you an option. He gives you an option to run 8 races 1 year, and then the following year you can run for Rookie of the Year. And that's what I chose to do. So I run for Rookie of the Year, and I won. And in Ken's series, he don't give you that option. So you can, if you haven't drove a late model more than 3 years, you can run for Rookie of the Year. And I just chose not to do it. There was a few drivers in Ken's series that I think deserves Rookie of the Year, and I'm not saying that I could beat them, by no means, but if I did, I just wouldn't feel right about it because I have been in a late model for 3 years. So it's not fair to the ones that's been in the late model for a year or 2 years and, you know, take it away from them. And I wouldn't want it taken away from me that way. So I just decided to not run for it. I mean, I want to win championships. This is what it's about for me, championships. And you can't do it focused on trying to run for a rookie. So that's my, you know, that's, I don't want to take it away from nobody.
Good thoughts. Let me ask you this. How gratifying was it to be the fastest car out of 47 cars Saturday?
Well, it actually felt good. There was some good cars there. There was 47 of the best around. And, you know, we was on top of the charts all day, and it felt real good. I mean, like any race car driver, I like to be on top, and I try hard. And it just felt good. You know, it felt real good. I mean, the guys were, you know, they was doing everything they could do, and I done everything I could do, and we was on top. So, it feels good.
And what did it feel like when you went down into one on lap one and Jay Johnson, you followed him out of the turn?
Well, actually, we went down the front straightaway side by side, and I kind of drove him off in there, and I thought he would break a little bit. He didn't, and I pushed up, and to keep from wrecking us both, I had to slam on brakes, and he just outdrove me, period. And he done a good job, and then he went in the corner and liked to lost it, and we got him on the outside there, and we didn't look back. So Jay's fast. He's a good race car driver. You don't mind being on the inside of him. You don't mind being on the outside of him. It's just one of them deals where he lost control a little bit, and I took advantage, and that's, you know, the way it ended.
Well, I mean, you were out front most of the night. You didn't get to see a lot of the racing that was behind you, but I've been telling you what, I've been to a lot of dirt tracks, and that's one racy little dirt track right there.
Yes, it is, and it is. And just as fun as it looks, it's as fun as it is racing. I mean, it's one of them racetracks where you can go to the top, you can go to the bottom, you can go in the middle. It's just every racer's dream. I mean, them people put a lot of effort into their racetrack, and it shows. I mean, you put a good show on. You had a few cars wrecked, but maybe some of them was spinning out. I'm not really sure. I know I was lapping cars. The cars that I was lapping was three wide ahead of me racing. You know what I mean? I mean, I seen some of them racing. It's amazing. At them speeds, you can race three wide, you know, and it's very interesting.
So now, moving to this coming week, you're going back to East Bay. What does it change how you approach things, knowing you're going to be starting on the front row?
No, but I tell you what it does do. It lets you prepare to race. You don't have to go into the race worried about making the show. You don't have to go worried about tearing your car up before you before you get into the show, or in a B main, or you know, I can focus on winning the race, and that's what I, you know, want to go do. You know, they had said that they wanted to wash out the whole show, and I'm glad they didn't. I mean, there's 20 cars locked in the show already, and all 20 cars can focus on winning the race besides trying to make it again. And I think it's going to be a very interesting show. There's a lot of top guys on top. And 2 years ago, I won at Tampa with the series. And last year, I led 26 laps of Ray Miller series and got passed by Keith Nosovich and Jack Nosovich. So I run third. But this year, I start outside pole, and maybe I can make it happen again.
Let me ask you this. You know, you've been racing for a while. You've seen a lot of dirt racing. What do you think about the way Ken Kenny has started this new series and the attraction it's already gotten?
Well, I'll tell you, he is working hard at his series. He gets an A for effort. He's a good man. He tries his best to please every race car driver, which he'll never do. I don't care who he is. He's never going to please me. He's never going to please Johnny Collins. He's never going to please everybody. But he's trying, and you got to give him an A for effort, and right now he's being successful.
There you go.
That's all but in the basket right there.
So, mm-hmm. So put this into perspective for just as you know, I mean, I'm a typical fan that sits in the grandstands, although I don't sit. I can't sit at a racetrack. Everybody that knows me knows that. But what is the what's the leap like to go from where you guys are racing now with the National Late Model Series of Ray Miller or Ken Kenny's United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series? What's the leap like to go to Lucas Oil or the
World of Outlaws
Dirt Late Models?
Well, I've actually raced in a couple World Outlaw shows and a couple Lucas Oil shows and a couple of the All-Star shows, and I can tell you, the leap is you got to have some money. You got to have the backing. It's a different world out there. The men that race in that series don't second guess themselves. When they want to make a move on the car, a decision on moving a bar or changing a spring or shock or tire or whatever, they don't second guess themselves. They just do it. And it's part of knowing what you're doing and having the money to have the knowledge. It's a different world out there. Them boys don't go to play. You don't ever see their cars messed up. They don't wreck for 10th place. If they're running 10th and some of them pull in, you know, I mean, it's they go to race. And it's a big leap. If you want to go do that, Ivan Lloyd's trying it. He's one of the best in the business, and he's trying it. And he's been successful. He won All-Star Championship last year, but he, you know, he's got some learning to do, I'm sure, and just like everybody else. But
so
the super late model is a big leap.
So would you put those guys like you know, Jimmy Mars comes to mind? Who are some of the other guys, Rick?
Chubb Frank. Bloomquist. You know.
You put those guys in on the same plane as, say, the Cup guys, something like that. I mean, you know, they're the
to be honest with you.
Yeah.
As far as asphalt racing and dirt racing, I don't want to knock anybody.
Right. Exactly.
But if anybody, Earl Pearson Jr., Scott Bloomquist can get out there and drive a Cup car any day. I mean, I believe that they can do it any day. You give them a little bit of practice, and they'll be better at it than other guys. You can't take half of the Cup drivers and put in a super late model and do what Earl Pearson Jr., Scott Bloomquist, Jimmy Owens, you know, Chris Madden.
Steve Francis,
them kind of guys.
Them guys are good at what they do. You know, and I understand Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson are good at what they do. But I think that you could take a dirt driver and make anything out of it.
That's the way I look at it. And, yeah. You know, I've always said there's nothing like a dirt late model race. There is nothing like watching a dirt late model race.
No, I think y'all got in-car cameras that y'all put in there, too.
Right. Yep.
I mean, if you ever put him inside of a car and watch the driver, I mean, he's got his hands full in a dirt late model getting around that place side by side at 100 miles an hour. You know, I mean, believe me, I could only imagine what I look like in one. But
a contortionist, huh?
Yeah. And the cup guys, they take drinks of water and whatever, you know, while they're racing. You can't do that in a dirt late model.
No, there's no way you'd be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So East Bay this weekend, and then North Florida. What's in store for you beyond that?
I'm not sure. I'm gonna go to Brunswick. I think it's Memorial Day at the end of May. I'm gonna go to that race in Brunswick for Ray Miller Series for sure. It falls back to I don't own the car, so I pretty much, don't get me wrong, I have say-so in it, but I don't own it, so the man that owns it has the last say-so of where I go and race.
Now, wasn't it really like a last-minute decision to go to Alabama?
It was. Tuesday, I didn't even know we was going to Alabama, because the last time we went with Ray Miller Series, I sat on the pole there and was running second to Johnny Collins, because he beat me on the outside too, just like Jay Johnson, and was running second. The engine run hot, so we had a pretty good car then. So I didn't figure that we needed. I mean, we had our notes, so I didn't figure we needed to go back. And my car owner said we was going. So and don't get me wrong, I would race 7 days a week if I could, 24 hours a day. I love it, and it didn't hurt my feelings a bit. I just didn't know that we was going.
And you call your home track would probably be Volusia?
Well, you know, I would say Volusia or Brunswick. I like Volusia more. Volusia's a funner racetrack to race at. I love to get around that place. It's so fun to drive. It's wide open, and I love it.
What do you think about the way Ocala's set up now?
I've raced there one time, and my car wasn't just right. I didn't have it just right, and the whole, I think it was a 50-lap race, I didn't have no power steer.
Oh.
So I had my hands full. I run third, but I had my hands full. So I really didn't get a feel of the track. I think it's going to be a real good racetrack to race at. I liked what I was there, but I was disappointed because I didn't have no power steering, and my car wasn't handling like I wanted it to.
Well, Mark, who's some of the people that help you get the car to the track, brother?
I got Lonnie Roberts, who him and Sherry own the car, Rance Phillips. I don't know if you've heard of Rance Phillips. He works on my car an awful lot, and he helps me awful lot. And I got Southern Style Racing Engines, which is George Pills down there in St. Petersburg. He's the one that builds the engines and them things, and they run good. I don't have to worry about the engines, so that makes a difference. And Russell Brown Race Cars. It's a Russell Brown car. He helps me a lot. He helped me Saturday night to make a decision that I had to make, and I went out there and sat on the pole with it. So I got to thank him. And my wife, of course, you know, she lets me put all these hours into these racing, and she supports me 100%, and that makes a difference in racing, anybody's racing career. If they want to ever do something, then I feel like your family's got to support you 100%, and my family does. So that makes it better on me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, it was an absolute joy watching you race Saturday night. I mean, calling that race was a blast, and the way you handled that thing was just awesome, man. And it's been great talking to you.
See you Saturday, man.
All right, we'll see y'all down there Saturday.
Cool. All thanks right. A lot. Mark Whitener.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
man. I'll tell you what, Jack, we've seen a lot of races. You would, when this guy came out, Ken and I were standing there, and they had five laps of practice each, and like five, eight, ten cars at a time. This guy was just absolutely...
He owned it.
He owned it.
Yeah.
And there was no doubt.
Tell you what, as a program note, on the Southeast Dirt Weekly, which is hosted by Scott McAllister on Thursday night, 7:30, right here on Real Racing USA, He's going to have Ray Miller from the promoter, owner of the National Late Model Series Southern Dirt Tour.
Very interesting.
Southern Dirt Tour.
14 years.
14 years. 14 years. My understanding is that's what I'm told. And Ray Miller is going to be a special guest, along with a couple of surprise drivers. We don't know who Scotty's going to come up with, but I talked to Ray this afternoon, and he's coming on Scott's show. It'll be very interesting. Later on tonight, we're going to have Ken Kenny on, the promoter, owner, United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Right.
He's going to be on with us a little bit. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go get wet.
Yeah.
Formula One boat racing.
Ooh.
That's a shift. We're going from dirt, brown, dry. To water.
To water.
We'll be right back.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor. When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you, thank you.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hello, I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting too hot. We hope you will reach for one of these. New Ben James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in 3 funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Crime of Passion Fruit.
Oh, Timothy.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10. Just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
Real Racing USA Live. Jack, when we decided to go from Short Track America to Real Racing USA, we decided to do racing. I mean, all forms of racing, no matter what.
Especially for this Tuesday night Real Racing USA Live show.
Right, and of course, we've pretty much been stock car racing tonight, but we went to the PRI show earlier this year, and we were walking around, and there's all forms of motorsports right there.
That's right.
And we came around the corner and saw this bright yellow boat, and there was Mr. Terry Rinker standing there, and we said, "What do you do?" And Terry proceeded to tell us about Formula One boat racing. Terry, Randy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Rick and I'm Jack, and we'll just both be talking to you throughout the night. But I'll tell you, it's great to have you on, and you're going to have to educate me and Rick a little bit here.
Now, you guys are Formula One racers. Tell us a little bit about that type of racing.
Well, I guess I'll jump in. It's Terry. Formula One outboard racing. We race anywhere from a 16 to 17-foot tunnel haul boats, which is basically a boat designed with a tunnel down the middle and two sponsons designed to trap air and lift the boat up as you're flying across the water. And basically, our job as a driver is to keep the boat teetering on that edge of becoming an airplane and remaining a boat, keeping the prop hooked up in the water. And most of the race courses are usually downtown, riverfront-type venues, good for the spectators, good for, TV. So we got an up-close, in-your-face type of racing. Very exciting, very fast, quick turns. The boats will turn extremely hard. We'll come into a turn 120 mile an hour and pull 4 to 5 G's through a turn, and next thing you know, you're going the other way and back down the backstretch.
Wow. These are what I could compare it to is like a tight road course, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, occasionally they'll put in some right-hand turns. Most of our courses are river courses, so they're just pin-to-pin, end-to-end type courses. Really not a lot of courses are attributed to having right-hand turns in a road-type atmosphere.
Right. Now, how did you get started in this type of racing?
Well, I myself, guess you could say I grew up around it, as well as Randy. He could probably agree with that. Our fathers and uncles and family were involved in the boating industry as well as boat racing. Kind of progressed through the classes of racing, from the smallest and slowest classes up to the pinnacle of outboard tunnel boat racing is the Formula One series.
Now, Randy, you're the older brother here, right?
Yes.
So did you start this, or which one of you went first?
Well, it's really as far like Terry's saying, the boat racing, we grew up with boat racing. Our father, our uncles, everybody boat racing. These are little small kneel-down boats. They used to call them the skipjacks, the little 10 horses, 15 horses on the back, and we grew up around that, racing all the time. I actually did a little bit of boat racing in that type of racing, and Terry did also a little bit of it then. And then my uncle, he went to doing the tunnel boat racing, which is what we're doing now, and I tended to get away from it, started playing around with motorcycles, but Terry kind of stuck with it and kept playing with the, actually started going to tunnel boat classes, and for a while I was out just doing this motocross action stuff here, busting my stuff up.
Wow. So, now, what you guys are doing is like what you'll go like a set number of laps on this closed course? Is that what it is?
Right. It's always going to be, you're going to have your qualifier, which is going to be a time trial. You have two laps for time trials, which is going to set you into your heat races. And the heat races will be two 10-lap races. And what they do is the first, how you qualify, they'll break them up generally into two groups. And the first 10 laps, how you finish, they'll invert the order. So if you win the first 10 lap heat, you're at the end of the dock for the second one then. And then they average your two scores together for the finals, which is a 50-lap main event then for the finals.
And what's the difference between what you're doing, like, because you'd said that this is mostly on river fronts and things like that. What's the difference between that and, like, what we would see at, say, the offshore stuff, like at Sarasota's, the thing in Sarasota, Florida every year?
Well, the offshore, you're going to have a lot of different classes out there running, all different classes. I mean, it's on a very large course. I mean, as you can see, it can become extremely rough out there for those guys out there.
Sure.
They'll have five different groups of classes of boats out there running at once, where we're just Champ Boat Formula One is the only boats out there racing at the time.
I gotcha.
There could be support classes there at the races also, but they're racing by themselves also. We're running by ourselves in the races then.
How competitive is it? I mean, is it tight?
it's pretty competitive. I mean, there's a when you're talking on seconds, I mean, a lot of times the top five guys when qualifying the time trials, they'll be, you know, a quarter to a half second difference in a lap time. So it's and then from the very fastest guy down to the end, then you're going to start maybe seeing about a, you know, a 3 to 4 second difference between, you know, your number one qualifier down to your last guy. But that, you know, that's time trials. When it comes race time, it's a whole different story. You got the water different. You got 50 laps, so you can be fast on time trials and everything. But still, it's the fastest boat doesn't always win.
Let me ask you this: how do you keep that thing in the water? I mean, I was watching the video of this, and it's like just barely floating on the water.
And what's that website there, Rick? What is it?
Well, what I'm looking at now is champboatusa.com.
And what's your guys' website?
Rinker10.com.
Rinker10,
yeah.
Like the number?
Yeah, Rinker10.com.
Yep. Okay, cool. How do you keep it in the water?
Well, really, you've got a trim gauge, which you're going to tell where you're trimming the engine, you know, out. Get the boat to, the bow to lift up, trimming it in a little bit when you're, you know, a little bit to get in the corner to get a little bit of a bite. Or if you start getting a little rough stuff, you might have to trim it in. Or, and like Terry said, you want to run that thing. It's always fastest right on that edge where you're on the edge of, boy, I'm almost too much. The boat's going to take off on me here. And or if you're underwater too tight, we're not going fast. So you got to get that fine line. And a lot of it's just the feel. You're sitting in a seat, you got that feel. Once you get a really good driver will start having that feel. They just know the boat so well. They can tell that ragged edge where the boat's right on the end, and they know just enough, and that all of a sudden, oh, I feel it getting a little bit loose, just bumping it a little bit, but then get that up button back up to get that boat up, because it's always the fastest when it's the least amount of boat in the water.
Well, I think that photograph there on the website that you had up there, Rick, with the 10 and the 41.
Yeah.
That photograph kind of tells that, because I'm looking at it here, and it looks like that's just an awesome picture. There seems to be a balance there that where you're just right on the edge.
Right on the edge. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the key, is to keep it on that edge. And that's basically what you're looking for, is to stay as close to that no return point as you can without crossing it. And occasionally you cross it, and you kind of remember that feeling.
tell us about that. Have you ever had one of those experiences?
Well, there's a saying in boat racing. It's the guys that have blown over, or they will blow over.
Yeah.
If you're out there competing, sooner or later you're going to push that envelope a little too far and go over the edge, and it'll get you. Fortunately, with the safety equipment that we have on board, most everybody carries air systems. We're in a 5-point restraint, 6-point restraints, kind of like an IndyCar tub.
Is that cockpit? It's not detachable.
No, it's an integral part of a boat, but it also is somewhat built much stronger than the rest of the boat.
Yeah.
Carbon fibers, Kevlar constructions, cord material. So it'll take quite an impact, and, you know, the force of the water hitting it, force of another boat actually hitting it, is designed to absorb that impact to protect the driver.
Yeah. So now you're going, what, 100? You said you're taking the turns at, like, say, 120. Is that the kind of speeds that are routine in the racing you do in Formula One?
Yes. Generally in the straightaways, we'll reach speeds up to 120. A qualifying lap, when you're in there for time trials, you'll be up into the 130 range. But for most of the courses we run, that's pretty much your top end speeds.
Yeah, that's wild. What now? What kind of motors do these boats have?
Mercury is the main motor. Mercury Racing provides us with 2.5 liters racing engines. That you can modify, or as Randy in the past few years, he's ran in what they call the stock motor configuration, where Mercury actually has a contingency fund if you run the motor as they produce it. There are certain rules, things you got to live within, but I've generally been more in the modified category of the racing, where you get that little bit more out of them. At the upper 5 or 6 boats, a couple tenths of a lap is everything.
Exactly. How many horsepower is this thing kicking out?
We're producing around 340 to 350.
And what's the boat weigh?
With the driver, the minimum weight after the race, and they'll weigh usually the top competitors, is 1,155 pounds.
And what kind of fuel do you run?
We've got a spec gas. Sunoco provides us with a GT100, or no, it's an S260 fuel is what they call it.
Yeah.
260, which is just 100-octane low lead fuel.
So you're sucking air in through that intake there? Is that what that's?
Yeah, we're one of the few teams that have a boat that's designed to has an air induction system that actually feeds the intake of the motor with a little bit of extra air velocity, so that we feel it helps us to burn a little more fuel, more horsepower.
And the Rinker family now has been building motors. I mean, that's what y'all do, right? I mean, it's part of your business.
Well, Rinker family, well, Randy can tell you a little more on that, has been involved in pleasure boat manufacturing for, 55 years, Randy?
Right. We're going for 60 years now as far as the Rinker boat. I mean, that's what the boat racing actually evolved in, from our grandfather starting just playing around with the race boats in their garage, and then starting to sell a few boats to people, and it evolved into the Rinker Boat Company now, which is producing anywhere from the 19-foot runabouts all the way up to a 40-foot cruisers then. So it's it's evolved quite a bit then, and that's really it all started from boat racing.
So and where are you where's the business located?
The Rinker Boat is in Syracuse, Indiana. Just one location in the it's right in the northern part of Indiana.
Gotcha.
How many races do you run through the course of a year?
I believe this year we have scheduled 7 races right now, starting out in, well, actually 2 weeks from now, up in Tennessee. And then we go to Bay City, Michigan. We see the rest of the schedule, but we go all through the summer. Bay City, then we go to Pittsburgh, if I can find the schedule here.
I think after Pittsburgh, I believe it's Minneapolis.
Yep, then we got Minneapolis, then we head to St. Louis, Missouri, Hartford, Connecticut, San Diego, and Tempe, Arizona are also 10 sites for this year.
Wow, so you guys do some serious traveling with this series.
Yeah, a lot of time spent on the road, and a lot of miles put on the vehicles, but, that's all part of it.
So now when we go to one of these events, what kind of fan interaction is there? Is there like... you guys get to do like autograph signings? Do you get into that kind of stuff, or how does it? What's it? Give me an idea of what the event's like. Is that, my only experience is the Sarasota Offshore Grand Prix. I've been to that, a lot of times. But that's my only. I think Rick too. That's our only experience at going to boat racing.
F1 Champ Boat Series is a very fan-friendly type environment. The pits are open to the spectators. Most of the events. They have usually a minimum charge to get into the pit area and some of the VIP-type viewing areas. But most all the pits are open to the fans. They come in. We do have autograph sessions usually on a daily basis. It's pretty much real fan-friendly. I mean, we'll start out the weekend sometimes on a Friday with testing and setup. Saturday would be qualifying, usually starting, mid-morning. Running, it's usually a 3 or 4 hour venue, so the fans aren't stuck out in the sun all day long, but we can still have a good time during the day. Run the qualifying races and some of the support classes on Saturday, and then we'll have our 50-lap final on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sounds like a weekend full of racing. And I found that schedule now. I'm looking, it's got a tentative date down here in Naples, Florida.
Yeah, that's a possibility. They've been working on a site there in Naples for several years, and then they're hoping hopefully by the end of the summer we can come down here and do some racing.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
we'll keep a deal with that and keep up on that.
Cause definitely be at
Yeah, if you guys come there, we'll definitely come down and check it out. That's not that far from us. We're around the Tampa area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Certainly,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Come down and come and check out our setup firsthand there at the races.
Cool.
Lots of good competition, lots of good racing to watch, and good bunch of people to be around.
And now we can catch a lot of these races. Is a TV schedule on there?
I don't see a TV schedule.
But
it's on speed, right?
Yeah,
we're televised on speed. Usually they try and delay broadcast them towards the fall and Christmas time, you know, over the first of the year. The last few years it's been on Saturday mornings around 10, 11 o'clock. They usually have an hour program highlighting the racing and some of the, you know, festivities that go on around, you know, during the weekend of racing.
Well, that's cool. Terry Rinker and Randy Rinker, I really appreciate you guys spending some time with us and enlightening us.
And enlightening us, yes, no doubt.
I mean, that's what it's about. We cover all forms of motorsports on this show, and it's always interesting to have stuff that, you know, we don't know about. It makes it a lot of fun.
Rinker10.com, that's the website. A lot of great information on there. You got any sponsors you want to thank real quick?
Yeah, we sure do. We actually just signed a deal for 2 years with the Amsoil Synthetic Lubricant Company. We're going to be representing them and all their great products. Matter of fact, we use every bit of the lubricants in our race team vehicles and in the race boats themselves. So it's been a great partnership for us and for them as well. And we're really excited about having them on board full time for the next 2 years.
All right, Terry, Randy, we really, really appreciate you guys being on the show, and we will check back with you from time to time.
All right. Great to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
All right.
Wild stuff, ain't it?
I want to see that.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely want to see that.
120 on water, just on the edge, hanging right on the edge. Got to make a turn, 5 G's, going the other way.
There is no noise. No, it's just water.
Like,
yeah.
It sounds like the Roadrunner to me, man.
Yeah, beep, beep.
You know, Rick, of course, one of the how we got involved with all this stuff originally was with Karnak.com, a website, of course, that a lot of our listeners are familiar with. Some may not be. I was just flipping through some things. You know, we got all these archives going back.
I do that every once in a while.
And I decided I was just going to pick out one here. We're going to be talking to Ken Kenny from the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series in just a minute. But January 3rd, 2001. Right out of the Karnak archives, Florida's Wayne Anderson wins second Gatorade All-Pro Series NASCAR Touring Championship. Picture of Wayne, an ad for the Hutchins device we used to sell.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
$349. We used to sell a ton. We were the leading seller. Karnak.com was the leading seller of Hutchins.
I remember when Brian Hutchinson called it.
That's right.
Yep.
And
not Brian, though. I forget his name.
Wayne Anderson, Wildwood, Florida, earned his second Gatorade All-Pro Series NASCAR Touring Championship, besting Randy Gentry, Jeff Fultz, David Ruderman, and Eddie Mercer. The points battle went down to the wire at Nashville, with Anderson winning the title by 82 points over Gentry. There's all kinds of stuff in them archives, man.
Oh, yeah. You don't even know. Yeah, so many people just go to the message board.
Have no clue.
Haven't got a clue.
We'll be right back.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes of America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Wow, another 2 hours has just zipped on by here on Real Racing USA Live. And
I'm telling you.
Well, we call it a night. Once again, we're going to go back a little memory trail down.
You want me to turn that music off? Or?
No, it's gone now.
Okay. Yeah.
Back up to East Alabama Motor Speedway. And the promoter extraordinaire himself from the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, Ken Kenny. Ken, how you doing tonight, brother?
Good, Rick. Thank you, buddy. I'm doing real good.
Man, I'm going to tell you what, man. We had us a weekend, didn't we, brother?
Yes, sir, we did. It was a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed it. It's a beautiful place to go race.
You know, you told me about the racetrack, but when we got there, I was not prepared for what I saw. That's just one beautiful dirt late model facility.
Yeah, you know, we sat up there in the tower, you and I and Rob, and we looked around, and I don't think we could figure out anything else you could do to a dirt track to make it any better, except maybe a little bit of pit arrangement, and that's about it. You know, everything else was pretty darn good.
Yeah, we got there, Tim Powers and I, we got there like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were already lined up out to the highway, you know, waiting to get into the place. Ken, has the series met your expectations so far this early in the season?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, it's been great. I mean, the loyalty and, you know, the guys that run even the different series that pop up when they don't race, I mean, it's been pretty awesome. I mean, you know, I've got some, you know, future goals, but up to this point, I mean, it's been awesome, you know.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, it went far beyond the expectations I thought when I joined the series. And the quality of drivers we've got is just, it's unreal.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you can't say enough. I mean, you got the best of, you know, best drivers in Florida, you know, the best local guys even. I mean, you know, East Bay has always been an awesome hot spot for late model racing, and you know, it's to the point, you know, they got 25 to 35 cars every weekend, and, you know, a different guy can win almost every weekend on East Bay without a series being there. And then you throw all the National Late Model stars, a lot of the Volusia County stars, you know, and some other ones in there, and you just got an awesome series, you know.
Right. And, you know, we sat in Valdosta Friday night talking about the expectations for the race in Alabama. And you said you were going to be happy with 38 cars showing up and 47 cars there Saturday night.
Yeah, that was our record so far. You know, 47 cars set the record, you know. And, we've got a goal to hit 50. I mean, it's, you know, obviously you get close to 50 and you want to get to 50. And, you know, Kip Brendel, you know, came up with an idea. And I think when we hit 50, we're going to adopt a charity and come up with a program to donate some money to a charity, you know, when we hit that magic number. And I'm hoping we hit that number in the next couple weeks here. You know, East Bay, you know, is a continuation, so, you know, we're holding at 43. We very easily could get to that 50 entries, you know, even though there's a few guys that may, you know, had some bad luck, may not come back this weekend, but the total car count could get to 50, you know.
Well, you know, one thing that I've noticed from talking to a lot of the drivers and crews and stuff, and like one thing I can bring out is like, you know, when we had the rain problem at East Bay, you know, it was mentioned that they wanted to start the whole thing over from scratch, and you fought hard for those drivers and crews so that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, you know, there was a little difference of opinion, but I feel like it's the right thing. You know, this was the best analogy I came up with. If a guy, there was a 60% chance of rain to begin with, and if a guy came all the way from Moultrie, Georgia, and his neighbor that runs the same series didn't, which this did happen, and he said, you know, there's a 60% chance of rain, I can't chance it, and the one guy qualifies, you know, and by our draw, and my God, East Bay did do everything in the world to get that race in. I mean,
no doubt.
The girl was pulling his hair up out there, and, you know, he was doing everything in his power, and we did our draw at the pits, and of course, Keith Nosbusch was fast time, but we, by virtue of our pole that we normally do in front of the fans, you know, Jay Johnson ended up on the pole from Moultrie, Georgia, and, you know, he was in the top five as far as, you know, speeds go in time trials, and I felt that if, you know, just to wipe out what he'd done and all the rest of them that got locked in, Katie Kelly, I mean, I could go on and on. It just wouldn't be the right thing to do. And I think a lot of the guys that, you know, I mean, some of the guys in the B main in the first one wish we had, and a few guys because they had a bad night, but they totally understood where I was coming from also, you know.
Exactly. You know, and talking about them B mains, man, I mean, every race we've done so far, any B main that we've ran could have been a feature race anywhere in the nation.
Yes, sir, Rick. And I'll tell you, this weekend, you know, we got a little twist added to it. Ziegler Racing Engines put up some money, and, you know, there's a few other people are going to go ahead and fill out the purse, and we're going to go ahead and put a purse on this extra 20-lap race. And, you know, this 20-lap race should be ultra-exciting. You know, we're going to go ahead and add three cars out of that to the field. And so what it's going to do is the guys that were there last time, it doesn't throw out what they did. It gives them their B main to get in, and if they don't get in through their B main, it gives them another opportunity, as well as any cars that did stay away for 60% chance of rain, you know. So it should be an awesome format. I truly believe, as far as a race goes, that this should be one of the, you know, races where any number of 10, 12, 15 cars could win. I mean, it should be an awesome show there. You know, East Bay is about as racy as you can get on a 3/8 mile in the United States.
No doubt about it. Now, tell us a little bit about the format coming up for North Florida Speedway.
North Florida Speedway, what we came up with, this is going to be the first inaugural, North Florida State Late Model Championship. And what we've done is we want to give back to the guys that show up every week and don't have as good a luck. And, you know, we've raised the purse for the back, from the back up, back forward. And if I've learned anything in this young season, that's what I've learned, that you've got to take care of the guys from the middle back that are always there trying and, you know, occasionally win a race or occasionally win a heat race. Or, you know, these are the guys you got to take care of. I mean, the guys that run up front every week, it's a given. If they run an organized series, you know, whatever the series is, they're going to be taken care of. You know, they're going to make their money back toward their car. It's these guys in the middle back, and I'm going to focus probably this year and, you know, carrying into next year, you know, taking care of these guys also as well, you know.
No doubt about it, man. It should be an exciting weekend. Ken, I'm going to tell you what, man. This is the best thing I've joined into racing so far, and I'm really enjoying myself.
I appreciate that, Rick, and I really do. And I know we're going to have a good season the rest of the way, and, you know, it's just beginning. You know, as the economy gets a little better, you know, we've got a lot of things in the works. And this North Florida thing after East Bay, I mean, East Bay is going to be a show, and these guys are going to be pumped. And when we go back to Lake City, I've already had a lot of other entries that have never run our series that will be there, that are stars in other series and local stars up there. You know, Brandon DeWitt is one of the better drivers up in that area. You know, and he will be there. Bo Allen, I mean, there's going to be a lot of stars up in that area that will make appearances.
All right, Ken. Well, you know, that was a quick one tonight. Glad to talk to you. And I'll tell you what, man, an Alabama journey was a really fun one. And we'll see you this weekend in East Bay, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll see you guys there. I appreciate it.
All right, Mike.
All right. Probably the fastest growing late model series I've ever seen that quick.
Well, and let me turn my mic on.
Turn your mic
as
on.
I was coughing, having a...
Yeah. Little coffee.
An imaginary peanut shell.
always bad luck at a racetrack.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. And again, that's what, Saturday?
This Saturday.
East Bay Raceway,
East Bay
Park.
Raceway Park.
Yeah, United Dirt Late Model
right
Challenge.
In the backyard.
And then, interesting, you know, we're going to talk to Ken about this. We're kind of short on time tonight, and I didn't want to get into it because it's going to take more than two or three minutes to get into. But, you know, racing is about competition, obviously.
Uh-huh.
It seems like everybody in racing competes. The media competes. The photographers compete for the best picture. It's a very competitive no matter what you're in. Promoters compete, and... You rarely do anything in a vacuum. I mean, you go
below
out.
Below NASCAR, there is no monopoly.
Yeah, and you're never the first one to do something.
Right.
And, of course, you know, Ray Miller's been operating a very fine Southern Dirt Tour for
National Late Model Series
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very well respected in all quarters. And, as I said, he'll be on with Scott McAllister on the Southeast Dirt Weekly here on Real Racing USA on Thursday night at 7:30. And, you know, there's going to be some friction here between these two series because many of the drivers
have to make a choice.
They race. Yeah, they have to. There are going to be some times where they make some choices.
Yeah, looking at the schedule, I think there's two or three conflicting races.
And hopefully, you know, as Billy the Kid Osborne from Trackside Tonight said last night, cooler heads will prevail. And I, you know, I agree a lot with what Billy and those guys, Joe Linebearer, were talking about on Trackside Tonight last night, which is also, you listen to that. You can also hear that here on the Real Racing USA.
I'll be on that show next Monday night.
You're booked?
Yep.
All right, good
for
you.
I haven't talked to him, but I'll be there.
Yeah, you need to get booked on that show. But anyway, we're going to be asking Ken about those things, and you know, that's going to come up. It's something we can't avoid. There's going to be some controversy involved about it. But you know what I think? It's just like in Florida right now, there's three sprint car series. And there's people in each one of those series who, you know, have a lot of animosity. There's certain, not a lot, but there are some people in each one of those series, a small number of people, who have a lot of animosity towards the people in the other series. But you know what? The thing is, if you pull this off and you go out there and you promote sprint car racing, there'll be more sprint car racing in Florida. Mm-hmm. Same thing with this. These guys are racing dirt in the southeast. Dirt racing in the south, late model dirt racing, will only be stronger because of this competition.
No doubt.
I believe.
No doubt about it.
As long as, you know, people respect each other personally, individually, you know, and keep the competition in business where it should be.
Yep. Keep it working together. One thing we didn't touch this week, probably the biggest news in any form of racing was Danica Patrick.
Terry Wall, suck eggs, dude.
She did it.
She did it. Yeah. Terry, a woman finally won the big one. What do you got to say now, Terry Wall?
And on that note, I think we'll call it an evening.
I think so. Good for you, Danica.
Yep. Real Racing USA. We'll be back next Tuesday night.
She's cute, too.
Yes, she is. She's cute.
She's cute.
Yep.
Series offers fast, good night, exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida.
The following is a presentation.